Opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of staff and management of WBIG Radio. This is your turn. The Big One, AM 1280 WBIG, presents your opportunity to voice your opinion on the air by dialing 585-1280. Your Turn is a daily open forum for conversation, including your thoughts, your comments, your opinions, and your ideas. To take your turn, dial 585-1280. That's area code 630-585-1280. Now here is your host and moderator, Ron Newman.
Welcome back. It's 17 minutes after 9 o'clock on Wednesday, December 10th, and T.J. Henderson is with us by telephone. T.J., I hope you had a chance to grab another cup of coffee here during the break.
I did, thank you.
And I want to go into, by the way, this is the second half of Part 4 of Judicial Corruption Week. My guest, T.J. Henderson, by telephone out in Iowa, and in the studio with me, Tim Wingate. I want to talk a little bit about this concept of jurisdiction, and Tim Wingate, I'm going to maybe rely on you to maybe walk us through this process. Let's bring this right down into the laps of people to something that they will understand. In what case, if there is one, might you give me jurisdiction, I don't know, over your property? Is that possible?
Okay, well, this leads toward a question that needs to be asked, and this is a question that I've asked in court. In essence, is what any challenge to jurisdiction is asking, and that is to the judge, where and how and when did you obtain jurisdiction over me other than the threat of the use of force?
Okay.
That's the question. Now, back to your situation. I may grant you jurisdiction if I were to ask you to house sit.
Okay.
All right? We're going on vacation. Come on over. The house is yours to use while we're gone. Take care of it, answer the phone, you know, mow the lawn, whatever it would
be. Get the mail, the newspaper.
I invite you in.
Okay.
I invite you in. I delegate authority to you to administer things that I can't take care of because I'm not there at the moment. Or maybe I'm incapacitated. Situation is. The difference is we're dealing with bureaucrats that take jurisdiction. They never ask permission to aggress against someone or their property. So in essence, it's you showing up at my door, demanding entrance, demanding control of my house
and
my property.
And I announce that I'm going to live there.
Yeah, you're going to live there as long as you choose to.
And you'll live under my rules now.
Yeah, in my own house. And you've brought two armed men with you.
Okay.
So I would maybe be a little bit more compelled, if you will, to go along with your usurpation of my authority in my own home. The issue is this is a very, very important issue, and it can't be underestimated because it's the crux of all the legal battles. The very initial issue is there jurisdiction? And we're dealing with people who take control over other people's lives and over their property, and they do that primarily through the threat of violence or organized coercion. And that is
or take your property.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the pretense, and this is how it ties in with judicial corruption, is that it's a public relations scam on the part of the judiciary. It's a scheme that is really trying to conceal what's going on, and that is the taking of property or your productive time, which is your property, through the threat of violence.
Yeah, but wait a minute. we have ordinances in the city of Aurora, okay, or in probably most cities and villages throughout the United States, and they come up with these things. Why? Well, because, you know, it almost seems that you have to have some city ordinances. Because let's say, for example, that Tim Wingate lives in a nice area and some nice homes in the area, and all of a sudden he decides that he's going to build an addition to his house, but because you were raised on a farm and you like that rustic look, for example, maybe I'm exaggerating some of this, but you like that rustic look, and you tell your wife, you say, you know, honey, let's build an addition on our house, but let's make the thing look rustic. Let's build it out of barn siding from maybe some 80 or 90 year old barn, and it's not going to be insulated. It'll only be a winter thing, and you know, maybe some kind of a tar paper roof or something like that. Well, of course, obviously, if you went to the village or city that you live in, they would say, well, no, you know, we can't allow you to build that here because, obviously, number one, it might not be safe. Number two, it's not built according to code. Number three, it's going to make the neighborhood look bad, Mr. Wingate. I mean, you know, this is a nice neighborhood, and why do you want to build this ugly-looking addition on your house? So I guess I can understand that. So that's why they enact these ordinances and rules and how they tell you what you may or may not do with your property. Now, as long as you follow their rules, you're all right. They'll let you do what you want. But I guess the question remains, because that's what they're going to point to, and you say, well, you know, Mr. Wingate, we have an ordinance in this city that requires such and such, and you're not following that, so you have to change your plan, or we can't allow the construction to continue. But the question comes in then, you're going to say, well, where is your jurisdiction to tell me what I, Tim Wingate, can do with my house on my property?
Right. What we're doing with that is you're scratching the veneer of the illusion. See, the question really comes down to also is, do you own your property? And that goes to a very basic question of, do you own yourself? John Locke, Baron Montesquieu, Hugo Grotius, all these people started back in the 1700s and before writing about the rights of man, natural rights, natural law, and that the right to personal property is nothing more than an extension of your personal right to own yourself. So what you end up having is a question of, do I actually own what I think I own?
Okay.
And this is the issue within any city, village, state. Do you actually own your own personal property that you think you do, or do you just simply have an equity interest in the property that the county or the state or the village actually owns? The right to own something is the right to control it. And if you don't have the right to control it, then you actually don't own it.
But
can I elaborate on that?
Sure. Yes, TJ.
Please,
go
TJ,
ahead, please.
Please.
Ron, you said the key word in your discussion in, you know, defining why. You said the word enactment of laws for townships, cities, villages.
Mm-hmm.
I recently, in the last couple of days, did a study in Illinois law. It's Title 65 of the ILCSs, which governs corporate bodies. And, you know, like I said, you said enactment. In Illinois' Constitution, there is an enactment clause, which simply states that any law that pertains to an individual or a group of individuals or people, as it were, every law has to start out with an enacting clause, and any subsequent law under that has to start out with that same enacting clause. To my knowledge, and in my opinion, Title 65 of the ILCSs has never been properly enacted by the state's legislature.
Now, this is within the state of Illinois. Title 65 of what?
Of the ILCSs, which is the Illinois Compiled Statutes. What I found in every state that I've done this same legal research in, I found the same thing. The legislature has never properly enacted the laws, and if they don't properly enact the laws, they do not apply to the people. This is how people look at the law to see if it applies to them. If it starts out with that enacting clause, then it applies to them. If it doesn't start out with that enacting clause, it doesn't apply to them.
What does that enacting clause have to say in order to be valid, let's say?
It's got to start out with something to this effect, being enacted by the people of the state of Illinois, or being enacted by the legislature. It's that simple. That is what enacts the law, so it governs the people.
So if it doesn't say that, then the law does not apply in whatever case we're talking about.
Which goes right back to what we're talking about, jurisdiction.
Right, unless you grant the judge jurisdiction or grant their twisting.
They can't take it.
Well,
right.
That's right.
Without force.
Right.
If you bring that argument to the argument table in a court and that judge rules against you, he has no immunity and he can be sued. He's no better than me and you sitting up there.
Yeah, it's an appealable issue.
It's an appealable issue. He's without discretion. He's without jurisdiction. And he just opened himself up to a lawsuit.
Well, let's say in the case of, jurisdiction, I mean, we're talking about you either own your house or you don't. Now,
right.
if it's still got a mortgage on it, I mean, obviously that's a different story. But if that mortgage is paid off and that title is free and clear, we are under the impression that we tell people, you say, yeah, I own my house. It was paid for, I bought it, paid it off 2 years ago. I own my house now. You'd be going around bragging about that. But the question is, some people will say is, oh, yeah? Really? You think you own your house? Well, sure, I just paid it off. And they'll say, well, you pay property taxes? And, well, of course I do. A hefty sum, I might add. And you say, well, what happens when you don't pay your property taxes?
They come and take your house.
They come and take your house.
Do you own it? No.
So therefore, you don't own it.
Right.
If I can, but you see, let's say, for example, you drop your wallet, or you drop a $10 bill out of your wallet, and that $10 belongs to you, but I see it and I take it. All right, I'm taking something of value that belongs to you. So, now obviously I have no jurisdiction to do that because you didn't permit me to take that $10.
And you also saw him lose it.
Yes. So that makes a difference too.
Yes.
Whereas in the case of a home, or your car, or your property, or whatever, if somebody just... I mean, you didn't lose your house. You know where it is. You didn't drop it, let's say. Then if somebody comes in and takes your house, regardless of the reason, and they kick you out of your house, I guess that's where it doesn't border on illegal. It is illegal.
It is illegal. Well, let me tell you what happened. Back in 1933, when this country went bankrupt, there was a House Joint Resolution, I believe it was House Joint Resolution 192, that granted the states all control and ownership over private property. That's where they think they gained jurisdiction. Of course, I know from my studies that House Joint Resolution 192 was completely fraudulent. What they did, what the bankers had to do, to gain control over all private property was get the titles switched. Up until about 1933, most titles were in the form of a land patent, which is a grant from the federal government, which is protected under treaty law. The Treaty of Peace, the Treaty of Paris, protects and gave each man in this country the same rights as a king. Well, does a king pay taxes? I don't think so. He was the tax collector. So what they had to do was they had to take that power away from the people. And they did through House Joint Resolution 192, which allowed the states to come in and adopt what's called the Torrens Act. Now, there was only 22 states in the United States who adopted that act. The rest of the states did it by fraud. The next time that particular piece of property sold, they were granted a statutory warranty deed rather than a land patent or an assignee to that land patent. If the property was divided, you know, most land patents were pretty good sized chunks of land. And people had divided pieces off and sold them, and then they were granted what's called a cloud on that land patent. Well, the next time that property sold after House Joint Resolution 192, it went to a statutory warranty deed, which is absolutely fraudulent, because they could not do that under the Torrens Act without a court action. Now, if you go read Washington law, I haven't studied this issue in the state of Illinois. I have in the state of Michigan, and the state of Michigan did not adopt the Torrens Act. So it was totally fraudulent. Without the court action, it was totally fraudulent. They just arbitrarily and capriciously done.
And this is what the judges in the judicial system are perpetuating.
Yes.
And this is where the fraud, the deception, the corruption is involved in, because the ultimate game of the bureaucrats is to gain control over your property through the least amount of violence that they can.
Right.
Gentlemen, I have to break in at this point. TJ, hold that thought.
Okay.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with TJ Henderson by telephone and Tim Wingate on part four of Judicial Corruption Week here on AM 1280, and we'll take a couple of phone calls at 585-1280.
You have one new message.
Hi, honey, it's me. You know, we've both been working a lot lately, and we haven't seen much of each other. And to be honest, I miss you. So I want you to clear your calendar for this weekend. I just made reservations for us at the Essence Suites. It'll be some alone time for just the two of us. A quick getaway without traveling too far. I've already checked into this, and I'm sure it's just what we're in need of. The rooms are great, and they really cater to their guests. And there are no membership fees. We can really relax and spend some quality time together. So I've got it all lined up for us. But if you want to, call and confirm our reservations at the Essence Suites. Their telephone number is 708-403-3300. That's right, the Essence Suites at 708-403-3300. Now, since I'm such a great husband, how about I cook dinner tonight? Frozen pizza sound good to you?
Essence Suites, 708-403-3300. You know how to make her happy, and we know where. The Essence Suites.
There's a place you all need to check out. A place for food, fun, and friends. The Grill at Cordon Blues. You know, Cordon Blues, that fantastic blues club in St. Charles right on the river. Well, the grill is right next door. They've got a comfortable outdoor patio, live music on Sundays, and an extensive menu with great casual dining. The best sandwiches, appetizers, salads, and of course, fun drink specials. It's a great place to meet with friends, relax, and have a fabulous meal. And they're open every day at 11 a.m. for lunch, and they stay open until, well, until late. So if you're looking for a fun place for lunch, dinner, drinks, and a great atmosphere, check out the Grill at Cordon Blues. You can find them right next to Cordon Blues at 106 South First Avenue in downtown St. Charles. And Sundays from 3 to 6, check out the great acoustic tunes of the Wood and Wire series. Visit the website at cordonblues.com for more information. The Grill at Cordon Blues, come check it out today.
You may have seen Santa at the mall, maybe even had breakfast with him, but have you ever seen him skate? Yeah, Santa
Rocket Ice Skate.
Don't believe it? Well, come skate with Santa at the Rocket Ice Arena on December 20th from noon until 1:40 p.m. Admission is only $3. Call 630-679-1700 or stop by the Rocket Ice Arena in Bolingbrook near City Hall on Canterbury Lane. Santa's time's limited, so visit Santa at the Rocket Ice Arena December 20th beginning at noon and come early for their free ice show beginning at 9:30 a.m.
Sound the trumpets. Clary Lane of Oakbrook presents Camelot. Lerner and Lowe's musical based on the legend of King Arthur is scheduled to run through January 4th, 2004. This 12-week run will be the fourth show of the 2003-2004 subscription season. Ray Fruin will star as King Arthur. In Camelot, King Arthur and Lady Guinevere live happily in their romantic kingdom until the handsome Frenchman, Sir Lancelot, joins King Arthur's round table. Arthur is forced to examine the rules he's set for his knights when he suspects his wife's affair with his best friend. Adding to the familiar figures in the story is Pellinore, a fumbling dragon hunter, Mordred, an evil knight, Morgan Le Fay, a beautiful wicked witch, and Merlin, a magician. Camelot features some of Lowe's most lyrical song hits, including If Ever I Would Leave You, C'est Moi, How to Handle a Woman, What Do the Simple Folk Do, and the title song, which was the favorite of President Kennedy's. Bold knights and gentle damsels alike will be dazzled by this bewitchingly magnificent musical. A rich and enjoyable experience awaits you in Camelot. For tickets, call the Drury Lane of Oakbrook at 630-530-8300.
To take your turn, dial 585-1280, area code 630-585-1280. Now more Your Turn and Ron Newman.
Welcome back. It's 9:37. We are going to go to the phones in a minute at 585-1280. But first of all, TJ, you were going to finish a thought that you had started before the break.
Yes. Let's go back a little bit to when I was talking about my jurisdictional challenge to a building permit in Clickitat County. That was going to be one of my arguments, which I never got to. I had switched the property, over to the land patent rather than a statutory warranty deed. The county allowed that, took it off their rolls, and when I started to bring treaty law into it, and that my property had been taken off the rolls and it was under the patent, it was really funny. The judge, he said to the prosecutor, note RCW 80. And so I noted it. Later on, I went to go look at it, and RCW 80 was the governing of PUD, which is the power, public utility district, or power in Clickitat County. And I'm going, well, they're going to shut my electricity off. And I laughed, because I wasn't hooked to what I call the umbilical cords of society, the electricity. I was generating my own power at the time. So, it didn't apply. But my thought was, I did a study, because we started to take this issue up to the federal courts when a man quit paying his land taxes. They decided to foreclose on him, and he brought it to their attention that they had to do an in-rem court action in order to take his property. So they stopped all foreclosures at that time, did a court action, and he was the only one who contested. We had it removed under 1441 of Title 28 of the United States Code to federal court, and we began our quest on making the argument over land taxes. Well, in my study in land taxes, I discovered when the first land taxes was ever apportioned in this country. It happened back during the Civil War when the South was so-called in rebellion to the civil government at the time. They had put together a commission of three people who went out to the South and did an investigation on who was in rebellion. And they reported back to Congress, and Congress started to tax their lands for being in rebellion. Huh. That's where some of the first land taxes came from. Well, I guess under the Trading with the Enemies Act, we all became in rebellion to the civil government of today, and I'm suspecting that's the reason why they seem to think they can tax our land.
You know what? We have three callers on the air that want to talk to you. We're going to go through those as quickly as we possibly can because we've got a break coming up here in less than 5 minutes, and it's a relatively long one.
Okay.
So let's take three phone calls, and you are on the air, Larry. Good morning. Say hello to T.J. Henderson.
Good morning. I'm just wondering, where do these laws stop when the bankruptcies take over? Because
what was your question?
Where are these laws, when they're trying to take your land away from you, stopped when I go in and file Chapter 13 bankruptcy? Because you can have the court date set for me to appear, say, January 10th. The minute I file bankruptcy, your court date is gone.
So they have no jurisdiction at that point. It's the jurisdiction lies in the bankruptcy court.
And you need to
let that lower court know that they don't have any jurisdiction because of the bankruptcy you filed, and give them the bankruptcy court number.
And then if you have to, you go to file for a Chapter 13 to protect it. And then as it gets worse, you head for 7.
Yes.
But that covers your rear end for a while.
Covers your rear end for a while. In your Chapter 13, you got to make provisions to make a payment on real estate, because your home and your real estate is in a mortgage is secured credit.
Yeah, but taxes
aren't. You can't bankrupt on secured credit. You can only reorganize it.
TJ, taxes are not covered in a bankruptcy, though, are they?
Some are, some aren't.
Oh, I see. Larry, I thank you for the call. 585-1280. TJ, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. 585-1280. I thought I lost you there for a second. Hang on. I'm going to put another caller on hold. And good morning. You're on the line, Marianne.
Okay. Good morning. T.G. Henderson, when you had your first case, you certainly were glad to have those 13 friends in the back of you.
Yes.
And that alone shakes them down a little bit.
Yes.
Through all what you have been saying, and Tim Wingate too, the bad thing is that it is all by design, one little step, one little step, one little step at a time.
That leads into a big step.
Yes, that leads into enslavement. I do feel enslaved for the longest time ever. Is there, Wingate, anybody around here who works on their problem?
There's a few organizations that help with. There is the Citizens Advocacy Center.
We have had on the air, by
right,
the way.
Right, right. Terry Petaska with the Citizens Advocacy Center. They work on bringing government into accountability. And they've got three main areas that they're thrusting on over this next year. They did it last year. They'll be doing it again. And that is the Broadcaster Accountability Project, which is something we've only alluded to. And that is that when you have basically 8 families owning all the media in the big media in the country, there's a question as to what information.
I don't think it is less than 8.
Pardon me?
I think it's less than 8.
Well, you know, we could argue over that. You know, you can take a look at the breakdown on that. They also have the Citizen Training Corps project, and that is for anybody to be able to go in and learn how to utilize the system, how to hold your local government accountable. And they teach you about First Amendment, how to file Freedom of Information Acts, who your representatives are, how to do legal research. That's an excellent, excellent program to go through. And the third thing is the identity theft seminars for folks on how to protect themselves against identity theft. All this information is available just simply by calling 833-4080. That's 630-833-4080 for the Citizen Advocacy Center.
Excuse me, Tim, why don't you give that number out one more time?
One more time. 630-833-4080. And you can talk to anybody there. They will let you know what days and times the programming is coming up. You can also log on their website, which is just very simply www.citizenadvocacycenter.org.
Well, Marianne, I thank you for a most interesting question. And we have to take our final break of the hour. And I'm anxious to talk to the next caller that's up. We're going to ask him to hold on, because he's going to bring up a very interesting point. And we'll be back with T.J. Henderson and Tim Wingate after these messages.
Everyone agrees that Lake Geneva is a beautiful place to go and relax. But if you want to experience the sunrise or sunset in a truly remarkable way, then you need to call a lighter-than-air affair and schedule a trip in a hot air balloon. The adventure begins at sunrise, or 1.5 to 2 hours before sunset. Once you take off, you will experience the wonderful spirit of flight as you float along, gazing down on the beautiful scenic landscape of the Lake Geneva area. Call 262-249-1564 to make an appointment or get more information. You can also check out the website at www.weflyballoons.com. A lighter-than-air affair has everything you need to make any special occasion memorable. All the pilots are FAA certified. Call 262-249-1564. At a lighter-than-air affair, the experience will last an hour, but the memories will last a lifetime.
From the Great Lake to the Grand City, you're suddenly in another world. Welcome to the Hilton Grand Rapids Airport on Michigan's west coast. The Hilton Grand Rapids Airport is just 2 miles from the Gerald R. Ford Airport and offers a relaxing environment for business or leisure stays in the Grand Rapids area. Our staff is dedicated to superior personalized service and strives to make every traveler feel as though they are on a well-deserved vacation. Our rooms at the Hilton Grand Rapids Airport provide comfort and up-to-the-minute convenience such as high-speed internet access, two-line phones with data port and voicemail. For a memorable dining experience, we recommend the Spinnaker, our award-winning restaurant. Recreational amenities include a spacious indoor pool, renovated health club, indoor jacuzzi, and dry sauna. The Hilton Grand Rapids Airport provides easy access to all Grand Rapids area businesses and is only minutes from the Meyer Botanical Gardens, Vanadel Arena, and many of our famous Grand Rapids golf courses. Outstanding service and amenities. It happens at the Hilton Grand Rapids Airport. For reservations, go to Hilton.com.
Do you enjoy Italian cuisine? Real homemade Italian cuisine? Visit Vincitori at 14 North Cass Avenue in downtown Westmont. Come in for dinner and enjoy fresh salads with blackened duck, portobello mushrooms, shrimp and scallops, and of course, the signature Vincitori chop salad. Traditional dinner favorites prepared for you include steak, veal, chops, clams, calamari, and pastas. Daily specials include a great selection of fresh seafood, specialty entrees, and fine wine. Finish your meal with homemade tiramisu, Granny Smith apple slice with gelato, cheesecake, or spumoni. Everything featured is fresh and prepared with Chef Bob's own unique style. Visit their website at www.vincitoris.com or call 630-663-9467 for preferred seating or order for the entire family and serve it on your table at home. You will be proud to serve Vincitori homemade Italian cuisine as your own. Call 630-663-9467 or visit Vincitori at 14 North Cass Avenue in Westmont for dinner tonight. And remember, they feature live jazz in their lounge the last Friday of every month.
Christmas is coming, and Aquashine Auto Wash in Aurora has a great gift idea or stocking stuffer that will surely please even the most difficult people on your list. Holiday gift certificate books for only $29.99. That's an unbelievable 27% savings. It's like getting a car wash for free. And hey, with a price like that, why not get one for yourself, too? So hurry into Aquashine today. This offer is only available for a limited time. Aquashine Auto Wash is conveniently located at 1160 North Farnsworth in Aurora.
Yeah, we're going to go right back to the phones and rejoin T.J. Henderson by phone, Tim Wingate in the studio. Let's take the next caller, and damn, I did it again. Are you there, T.J.?
Yes.
All right. And Bill from West Chicago? Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
There's an issue I'd like to bring up. It came about in the 70 Constitution when it was rewritten. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, this was a push that was gone throughout the country in the late 60s and early 70s to rewrite these outdated state constitutions by the ACIR, the Advisory Council on Intergovernmental Relations. And a provision was put in our Constitution on home rule.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to a Supreme Court ruling, and I can't cite the case, I believe it was in Colorado, that the Supreme Court declared that this was an illegal form of government because it created a third tier of government. And I'd just like to hear the opinion of your guest and Tim, too, on this issue.
Regardless of whether a village or a town or a city or a county is a home rule type of an entity,
it still has to follow the provisions of the Constitution as it was written in the beginning.
Well, you take the, you can take the home rule issue. Let's say, let's apply it to the Second Amendment issue, like in Morton Grove, where they banned handguns, and they cited that through home rule because of the provision in there for providing for community safety.
Let me tell you about a case out in Colorado and Denver. Denver, Colorado, and Thornton, Colorado, were both home rule cities. And they had similar laws that said that you couldn't pack handguns. A very good friend of mine, open carry they call it, started to challenge that. He went out and got himself a couple of tickets for open carry in both cities. And he is currently in jail, by the way, illegally. He started to challenge the ordinances as being unconstitutional because they violated the Second Amendment. And he did a very good job.
But
through that, it forced the legislature of Colorado to force these home rules, two home rule cities, to change their open carry laws because they violated not only the Colorado Constitution, they violated the statute that allowed for open carry in the state of Colorado. So they amended their ordinances to reflect open carry. Now they have open carry. So if it was unconstitutional back at the inception of the ordinance, it was unconstitutional that day.
Yeah, I'd go along with TJ on that. And George Orwell said, political language, which is what we're talking about, is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable and to give an appearance of solidity to pure wind.
Bill, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Much appreciated. 585-1280. I think we have time for just one more phone call. I apologize. We are not going to be able to get to everybody on the line. Carl, you are next up. Good morning. You're on the air.
Top of the morning.
Hi there.
Morning.
Say hello to TJ Henderson.
Oh, good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Morning.
Interesting conversation today, and I keep going back to, wow, this is Carl from Pawpaw, by the
yeah.
way. Going back to my real premise is that all the talk, doesn't matter who's doing the talking, our system is fundamentally broken. We talk about the Constitution, which it seems to be a dead document. We might as well send it over to Iraq, as Jay Leno suggested, because we're not using it. We have created a two-tier justice system, and I would point to a couple of kind of famous cases, O.J. Simpson with the money to buy his way out, and Bill Clinton with the clout to keep his way out. Every once in a while, the elite will go ahead and sacrifice one of their own just to make sure that we, the little people, think that everything is, that overused word, fair. And I don't see how we're going to rescue the republic, if we even have a republic anymore. I think we're a lot closer to democracy.
Well, Carl, could I jump in? Before
you guys do, I have to tell all of you, we are very short on time. I've got just a little over 4 minutes left, less than 4 minutes before I run the
meeting. Okay, I'll be brief. I had the privilege of being with Bob Schultz all day yesterday. As you know, he was on the radio here,
right.
as well. I believe that his concept, his idea of how to bring the government back into propriety, back into obedience to us, bring our servants back into the right situation, is probably the best thing I have seen in 25 years of working on political and rights issues, patriot movement, whatever you want to call it. And Carl, I would really encourage you to get to his website, givemeliberty.org, and download a lot of the material that they have there and read through the whole plan that he has to bring us all together. And it's not that it's got to join his organization. The idea is that through massive action of a mass group of people, we can get something to change, but we have to go through some steps first so that we're not only justified morally, but we're also justified legally for whatever next steps we have to make.
Tim, with the controlled media, a controlled judiciary, a puppet governor, a puppet president, and traitorous, treasonous, cowardly legislators. Where are we going to get the people?
Radio? Go ahead, TJ. I'll let you.
It's called infiltration. The only way that we're going to get our country back is we got to, as a people, as a whole, have to infiltrate. That's what they've done to us. Mm-hmm. That's how they took control of our government. Now it's time for us to step up to the plate and say enough is enough and
gentlemen,
start running.
Gentlemen, I have to break in. We're almost out of time. Carl, thanks for the call.
Great conversation.
Thank you.
Let me just throw this
thanks
in real
very
quick.
Much for listening.
And it's very simple. Tune in Friday. We're going to talk about some solutions to this issue as well.
Yes. And before we cut you loose here, TJ, I have to mention that for those that want some more information, you are going to be making a personal appearance this Saturday, December 13th, at a gentleman's house, and I'm not going to give his name and phone number over the air, obviously. If they want more information, Tim, maybe you've got a number. Have you got a number?
Fred's number down at the bottom there?
No.
Oh, okay.
They can call me.
All right. What is your number, TJ?
It's 641-656-4058. I can give them the information how to get there. It's in Bartlett.
All right.
Illinois.
They're going to gather by 8:30 a.m. They'll start at 9, and the seminar closes at 5. Lunch is not included. They're asking you to bring some food or make a donation to share with others so that we can stay and talk during the lunch hour.
Yes.
The cost of this is $50 per individual. Now, what do you get? Well, you get an eight-hour seminar by my guest today, T.J. Henderson. And T.J., I want to thank you very, very kindly for being with us this morning. And Tim, you too. T.J.
Hey, Ron, I have the address here for the home in Bartlett, Illinois, for T.J.'s class.
Do we want to give that out over the
Absolutely.
Air?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's 114 South Crest. That's 114 South Crest in Bartlett, Illinois. Again, 114 South Crest in Bartlett, Illinois. It's just south of I-90 on the road to Rockford.
Yeah.
And the local number there is 630-936-9550.
All right.
Do you want people to call you, Fred?
You can call that local number, or you can call toll-free
888-606-9379.
1-888-606-9379. Fred,
right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
TJ, we got to start running the theme here, but once again, if you do have a final thought in about 30 seconds, I'd appreciate hearing from you. TJ, are you there?
I think he's gone. When Fred hung up. Well, that's good. Then I'll get to pitch something, and very simply, that is, folks can get a hold of me through my website, which is www.seizeliberty.com.
And by the way, I don't mean to cut in on here, but you know, we've never said who you really are. Tim Wingate is the National Field Director for Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion. That's Caspian. He's also the founder of Carpe Libertas Institute for Critical Reasoning. He's been married for 25 years. He has 3 grown children. And also, and probably most important, he conducts seminars for activists and emphasizes a non-traditional proactive approach to social and political problems. And he's also a founding partner, and you got to check out this website, www.quietbuy.com. It's a private buying service. Tim, thanks so much for being in the studio
with
us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Ron. We'll see you Friday.
I'll see you Friday.
With Mark Sato.
Mark Sato will be here. And tomorrow, Chris Lawson. Stay tuned to the big one.
Hey, the right